loves me now so well. What power my soul can sever, shall life or death or earth or hell, no, I am his forever.
Amen. Praise the Lord. You may be seated. Appreciate again that here we are in our second week of December, second Sunday of December, looking again for me at a theme. It's up on our screen here again, that we're looking at the candles, Advent candles, the prophecy candle today, the Bethlehem candle, then the shepherd's candle, and then rather than the angel candle, I put the angel candle with the shepherd candle. We want to look at the wise men's candle. Wise men still seek him. Praise the Lord. But today that leaves us looking at Micah chapter 5 and verse 2 in your Bible. Book of Micah and chapter 5 and verse 2. It's amazing to me. Well, it's amazing to me that I could even find Micah in my Bible. Jonah, Micah, right after Jonah again it is. But it's amazing to me when we look at the prophecies of the first coming of Christ, like we did last week again. Daniel, Hosea, Joel, Amos, Obadiah. Then comes Jonah. That there's so many scriptures that point to the first advent of Christ that we can see them in hindsight and they make sense to us. But again, when Jesus was with the disciples on the Emmaus Road, I'd like to have been listening to some of that, because he taught them all scriptures that taught of him coming there, and certainly centered around his first advent, his death, burial, resurrection. But when we look at them, when I look at them, I think, you know, if I was a Bible scholar in the Old Testament day, I'd have never picked this out and said, this is what this is talking about, so many of them. And even this one here in Micah chapter 5 and verse 2, notice again that it's a little bit obscured. And then one year I preached all the rest of this chapter and the prophecy that is contained there, and there's some tremendous insights there. But again, the idea that they, when the wise men showed up, those that dug through the scripture could go back and see, hey, the scripture said he's going to be born in Bethlehem. That's our text that we're looking at here in Micah and chapter 5 and verse. Let's just go ahead and read down the first three verses there. Micah and chapter 5, you may remain seated. You look so comfortable this morning. And we'll go ahead and you follow along in your Bible as I read from God's holy word. Micah chapter 5. Now gather thyself in troops, O daughter of troops. He hath laid siege against us. They shall smite the judge of Israel with a rod upon the cheek. But thou, Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall come forth unto me that is to be ruler in Israel, whose going forth have been from old, from everlasting. Therefore will he give them up until the time that she would travail hath she which travaileth hath brought forth. Then the remnant of his brethren shall return unto the children of Israel. Father, praise you again. Thank you. Thank you again, Father, for celebrating the first advent of your Son, his birth in Bethlehem, especially as we focus on that. Father, that we could again just rejoice in the more in all that you've done for us to send your only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Thank you for that, and touch our worship this morning. In the name of Christ we pray it. Amen and amen. So let's open our songbooks to page 117, I think it is. I've lost my songbook. page 117, should be, O Little Town of Bethlehem. We sing this again today. I want to just read it to you as a poem again. And again, as we do that, just think about, what do we know about O Little Town of Bethlehem? I was going to get a whiteboard out here and see if we can't list 8 or 16 different things about Bethlehem that we know, and I'd still almost do that. So we want to look at this little town of Bethlehem. Let me read the verse to you. It says, O little town of Bethlehem, how still we see thee lie. There's pictures of the town going by on our screen up here of what it looked like again. And Beverly and I went there in our 2022 trip. It's interesting, when we tried to go to Bethlehem on our 2009 trip, that we were forbidden to go there because our bus driver and our tour guide were refused entry into Bethlehem. No Jews were allowed in Bethlehem in 2009. It's forbidden for them to enter. They have a few that come in on special visas. But other than that, they keep all Jews out. That sounds really like fair, you know, in this day and age that we live in. And so that was because it was under Palestinian control, and the Palestinians hate Jews with such a passion that you would not believe. Consequently, there was no Jews allowed in Bethlehem. And we'll look at that in just a moment to understand that there's still a garrison of Philistines in Bethlehem again. Above thy deep and dreamless sleep, the silent stars go by. Yet in thy darkness shineth the everlasting light. The hopes and fears of all the years are met in thee tonight. Last verse. O holy child of Bethlehem, descend to us, we pray. Cast out our sin and enter in, be born in us today. We hear the Christmas angels, the great glad tidings tell. O come to us, abide with us, O Lord Emmanuel. Praise the Lord for that song again in its writing. I already said before when we sang, O come Emmanuel, and then joy to the world, that many of these songs have an overlapping theme of not only the first advent of Christ, but again the second advent of Christ. The Catholic Church and the Protestants that came out of them, they just kind of overlap the first and second advent of Christ, and are all very confused when it comes to Bible prophecy that we've been looking at, very clearly portrayed in scriptures. And so we're commanded to rightly divide the word of truth, and part of that division is to understand that, hey, there's a first advent and there's a second advent, and the second advent includes, first off, a rapture of the church, and then the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, where he will rule on earth, as it says, joy to the world. And he'll bring joy to the world. The curse will be gone. I just heard an ad by Billy Graham's Association again, talking about the end times, and I'm nervous again, because they still don't differentiate well that that's after the return of the Lord Jesus Christ and the judgment of the world. But boy, there's going to be peace on earth, goodwill towards men, but that is, again, during the kingdom age. And so here, when we're looking at the scriptures that point to his coming, we want to just focus a little bit on the fact that he was born in a little town called Bethlehem. There's one slide, I don't know if it's in that collection, I put it in mine here, that shows all of the churches that are there in Bethlehem. And so when we look at all of that, it's pretty scary. No, it's not in that one. Oh, here it is. It is in this one. Bethlehem, Euphrata. And so let's cover some things that we know about Bethlehem. And I'm going to ask you to participate here and get involved, okay? I'll give the first one, okay? Jesus was born there, okay? So that's kind of an easy one again. And that's why we're celebrating the little town, is because it brought us the birth of the Messiah. Okay, someone else, tell me something. Yes, Dave.
Bethlehem means house of bread.
Okay, house of bread, good. And the definition of that word, that's the meaning of it. Yes.
Mary and Joseph couldn't get a room in the inn.
Okay, yeah, that's where Mary and Joseph went to Bethlehem, and they couldn't get a room again, and so consequently, Jesus was born in a barn. I hear a lot of talk again about that, whether it was really a barn or whether it was a manger, and all the different talk. But again, it's pretty clear in Scripture, again, that they were in the outback, at least, again, of a house there, and were not accessible to a nice, comfortable quarters because of the crowds there. Anybody else?
The Bible says that he was put in swaddling clothes, and they laid him in a manger.
Yeah.
That's in the Word.
That's pretty clear, again.
Yeah.
Yeah. So a lot of modernists have different versions of what manger means, again. So probably they weren't born. They didn't spend very much time in a barn, so they wouldn't know what a manger was, again. So, okay. Anyone else? Bethlehem.
I heard that there was a well of water there that's worth dying for.
Okay, yeah, praise the Lord. So that was David who said, boy, I wish I had a drink of water from Bethlehem, the well outside the gate in Bethlehem. And at that time, there was a garrison of Philistines there, and his men hazarded their life to go sneak into Bethlehem right through the garrison and to get water from the well in Bethlehem. And what did David do with it? He could not drink it because they hazarded their life to get it, and he poured it out unto the Lord. All right, that's good. Anybody else?
Ephrata means Bethlehem, right? And then, or Ephrata is fruitful, but it was a former name of Bethlehem.
Yeah. So, okay, and so it picked up the name Bethlehem Ephrata because of something that happened. Anybody remember what that was? Yeah, of course you remembered. I already rehearsed this message with you.
Rachel died in childbirth.
Okay, that's where Rachel died in childbirth. And so, again, remember Joseph spent all, 14, 20 years down in Syria. And then he come back to the Promised Land. And right after he came there, he came. And Rachel died in childbirth, giving birth to Benjamin, but she called him Benoni, which means son of sorrow, and father called him Benjamin, which is man of my right hand. And so, and that's where it took on the name Ephrata, Bethlehem Ephrata. We saw here in Micah that it had that connection, and it was again talking again about Ephrata, which means, it's one of those Hebrew words that combines two pieces. The first piece means a heap of ashes, and the second part means a place of blessing. And so again, where that word Ephrata means that, again, that's what Bethlehem is. It's a place of sorrow. It's a place, a heap of ashes, as it were. That's where Rachel died. But it's also a place of blessing, even as Benjamin was born there. A couple other things. One is that Saul, on his way to the throne, went to Rachel's tomb. And so Saul was a Benjaminite. And on his way to the throne, God led him through O little town of Bethlehem. Another thing we can't forget, again, it's in Luke as well, that it was where David was born. It was the birthplace of David. And God said, I'll raise up a man after mine own heart. After the failure of Saul, God installed David. Again, out of ash heap came a place of blessing for David to reign after Saul. And so I think that captures about most of, again, what we know about Bethlehem. There's pictures of it here that we had, that we went to, and I got this one that says there are churches present in Bethlehem, but are not preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. The Church of the Nativity, the Church of St. Catherine, the Church of Stephen's Field, or the Shepherd's Field, the Church of the Shepherds, the Christmas Lutheran Church, the Lady Fatima Church, the Milk Grata Church, and the St. Charbel Church, all again with Catholic background, which preaches another gospel. And what did Paul say about a church that preaches another gospel? Let them be accursed. And so again, they preach a gospel of penance or a gospel of works. They do not preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, and so it is for all of them in Bethlehem. As I said, we were forbidden to go there in 2009. We did go there in 2022, and it was like a repressive place because, again, of two things. One is it's overridden with Catholic churches, and number two, it is overridden with Palestinian control. And so we went to the little hill outside of town and had a worship service on the hill where the shepherds would have been gathered outside of Bethlehem, as near as they could guesstimate. Also, I'd already mentioned the fact that that Christmas, we celebrate in December. December, again, 25th, was the, according to a Roman calendar, was the longest day of the year. And so they celebrated again the sun god, and the Catholic Church actually made December 25th a day of worshiping of the sun god. They made that Christmas day, tried to convert it into when Christ was born. And we don't believe that again. Yes?
I have another one.
Yeah.
Naomi and Ruth reached
yes.
Where Ruth met her kinsman redeemer.
Yes, praise the Lord.
I just had to bring it up.
And I missed that one too. I knew there was another one. You remember, again, Naomi and her husband and two sons left Bethlehem, house of bread, because of a famine in the land, and they went down and dwelt in Mesopotamia. And then when they came back, they brought again, her husband and two sons died, and Naomi came back, and Ruth said, I'll not leave thee. Your God will be my God. Your people will be my people. And so Ruth came back, and Naomi says, don't call me Naomi again. Call me bitter, because God has dealt bitterful with me. And so again, notice again that out of the heaps of ashes comes great blessing. We know that David's great-grandmother was Ruth there when she... again, was blessed and is in the lineage of the Lord Jesus Christ, even being a Moabite. And so the kinsman redeemer was there. And listen, the Lord Jesus Christ, he's our kinsman redeemer. It's also curious when you read the book of Ruth that Boaz was unable to redeem Ruth and Naomi's land there until it was brought to another, because there was a closer kinsman than was Boaz. And listen, you and I understand, again, can look in hindsight and say, hey, we had a closer redeemer than the Lord Jesus Christ, because ye are of your father the devil. That, again, that's the devil and portrayal there, again, that is a kin that's closer to us than God was. But God sent his only begotten Son. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. We have a kinsman redeemer. Let me go back and check my list now. Make sure I didn't miss any of the other ones. I had a list of seven here again, and I think that nails them all. Plus a couple. So, praise the Lord. There's things that we could learn and explore. About our Bible here, about O little town of Bethlehem. Let's look at the book of Luke one time and take a minute to go ahead and read some of the Christmas story from the book of Luke. This is familiar to us. We could almost recite this. Some of us have been reciting this in Christmas plays ever since we were little. So Luke and chapter 2, the Bible says this. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. Parentheses, and this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor with Syria. That's kind of like, close parentheses, that's kind of like a date stamp on this, so we can nail down exactly what that happened, when that happened. Understand that even from Usher's day, anybody heard of Usher? He's a hero of mine. And he put all the dates in the top of your Scofield Reference Bible. And I trust him better than I trust any modernist ecumenical date setter again. And so he has, again, that Christ was born in 4 B.C. For three reasons. One, they left off one in the chronologies of the kings. They left off one that he discovered and added back in. And the other is that there's no 0 B.C. So when they started counting, you got a 1 B.C., and then you got a 1 A.D., but there's no 0 again. And so just in their scaling there. So anyway, 4 B.C. is the date that's come up for that, and surely fits very well. And so we have this taxing here first made when Cyrenius. Also, again, there's several taxings that was made. And so, again, there's times that they were all taxed, and when they were taxed, they had to go back to their place of nativity, as it says here, and all went to be taxed, verse 3. Every one into his own city, and Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem. Parentheses, because he was of the house and lineage of David. Verse 5, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped them in swaddling clothes, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And so we have again the tremendous unfolding there of the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. And next week we'll look at the shepherds again and spend a little time in their study. But just again, look at this old little town of Bethlehem and understand that there's a place here on this earth where God was made flesh and dwelt among us. That again, the Word became flesh, and we beheld the glory as of the only begotten of the Father. That God took on a finiteness, and He set aside, the Bible says, His glories, His attributes, and He set aside that, and there laid in the manger. There again, notice again that He was under human control. Joseph and Mary were His guardians. They took care of Him. And He was not almighty. Can I say that? He did not know Hebrew. He was not filled with wisdom. And so as we read the account here, beginning with His birth, understand that what God set aside that would cause that His only begotten Son would be made flesh and dwell as a man. There's a verse in John, I think it's in John 5, that talks again about the fact that all judgment is given to the Son. Why is all judgment given to the Son? It's because, not because He's the Son of God, but an emphasis on the fact that He is the Son of Man. That He was born of man. Bible says He had like passions as we have. He was just like us. In fact, again, as we look at theology to understand that He was God in the flesh, we've come up with this definition that He was as much God as if He was not flesh. And He was as much flesh as if He was not God. It's hard for us to comprehend that. But again, understand that He set aside His attributes. He was not omnipresent. He could not be at more than one place at one time. Some Bible teachers, I know, I've talked with them in great depth at times, say that John chapter 3, where He says that He was present in heaven and on earth at the same time, they say, see, that proves when He was in the flesh, He could be at more than one place at one time. But again, it just goes countervail to everything that we understand about Him being in the flesh. He could not be in more than one place at one time. He took on all our finiteness to walk here upon this earth. And again, be careful again of anyone that strips that away. Even those that say, when he says again that he knew what they were thinking, he saw them and he knew what they were thinking. Don't put some holy attribute on the Lord Jesus Christ in the flesh that he do because he was God knew what they were thinking. No, he knew what they were thinking, just like you know what your wife's thinking. Or maybe better, just like your wife knows what you're thinking again. Because he knew man, the Bible says. And he knew what was in man's heart. And so he knew what they were thinking. And so many of the times you see there, he knew some things. But always come back to this, that everything Christ did while he was in the flesh, he's given you power to do. Let me say that again, a little slower. Everything that Christ did while he was in the flesh, he has given you and I power to do. I remember when he said greater things, I did great things, and it's like, but greater things are you going to do because I go to my Father and he's going to send his Spirit unto you. And so again, to understand that even that line, to understand that, hey, we have power to do what Christ did. Because he had a total surrender to the Holy Spirit of God. He was total at all times. He was totally filled with the Holy Spirit of God. When I was in Shibuya, the only people I had the fellowship with there for the whole year was a whole group of charismatic Christians. And so they were praying the whole time that I would become glossolalic, able to speak in tongues. And so I said, here's what I want you to do. I want you to pray. If you want me to speak in tongues, I'll speak in tongues. But I want it to be the Hebrew tongue. I've already known the Hebrew alphabet for years. I want to be able to speak and understand Hebrew. So I set them on that mission. And I come out of there not able to speak Hebrew. But a couple of them came out of there born again Christians, where it used to be they were pretending. And so what a blessing again to understand that, hey, what Christ did here on this earth, he has given us power to do if we were filled with the Holy Spirit of God. And so that gives us some kind of barometer in our lives to measure how filled am I with the Holy Spirit of God? How much is the presence of the Holy Spirit of God in control of my life? And I mentioned that with the Hebrew because remember when, 13 years old, I forgot his age, I think it was 13, he was in the temple reasoning with the scribes and reading at 12, before 13, okay? He was reasoning with the scribes and they marveled at him. And later on he was speaking and they said, where did this guy learn his Hebrew? And none of the scholars of the day taught him Hebrew or Aramaic or Greek. But he knew them all. How did he do that? He did that by the power of the Spirit of God. God taught him those things. And listen, what he did in the flesh, he did as a human in our finite flesh. That should be an encouragement to us. When he was resurrected, he prayed in John 17, Lord, take me back and give me the glory that I had before I became flesh. Give me the glory that I had when I was in your kingdom. And certainly that's what he is reestablished in now. And I still don't know, and I've wrestled with this even in my theology books, I don't know how much finiteness he retained. I think he still retains a finiteness as far as being at one place at one time. We see it a little bit in his resurrected body when he came and visited with his disciples. And so he became flesh and dwelt among us. And so as we go through this Christmas time, just ponder that a little bit and consider that God, who created heaven and earth, became flesh and dwelt among us. And he again, therefore, can be our judge because he was tested in all things that we're tested in. And yet he again was God and successful over death. Father, praise you again and thank you. Thank you for a short study, a short glimpse into a little town called Bethlehem. Thank you again, Father, that you had your eye on that long before your son was born there. But thank you that we could put our eye on it and understand again the miracle that was done there, that you so loved us, that you gave your only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Lord, we believe. Help our unbelief. Lord, we know you said that we could do greater things even than your son did here in flesh, because you dwell in our hearts. Father, even in this week as we walk into it, help us to do greater things. Help us to be filled with the zeal of our Father, even as your son was, and bless in a special way, and we'll give you all the praise. Thank you, Father, again, that we could celebrate the birth of Christ. Help our celebration to get all over our neighbors, all over our kin, all over our loved ones, all over again, those that we'd see even in this week, that we'd rejoice that you'd send your son to save the likes of us, and then allow us to be your witnesses. Help us to do that with a new zeal. We'll give you all the praise. In the name of Christ, we pray it. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's stand and dismiss with this little song. I always start these songs on all the wrong keys. Dave hits them right on key. But I don't. So let's go ahead and start in my favorite key again. Oh, little town of Bethlehem. Oh, little town of Bethlehem, how still we see thee lie. Above thy deep and dreamless sleep, the silent stars go by. Yet in thy dark streets shineth the everlasting light. The hopes and fears of all the years are met in thee tonight. For Christ is born of Mary and gathered all above. While mortals sleep, the angels keep their watch of wandering love. O morning stars, together proclaim the holy birth, and praises sing to God the King, and peace to men on earth. How silently the wondrous gift is given. So God imparts to human heart the blessing of his heaven. No ear may hear his coming, but in this world of sin, where meek souls will receive him still, the dear Christ enters in. O holy child of Bethlehem, descend to us, we pray. Cast out our sin and enter in, be born in us today. We hear the Christmas angel, the great glad tidings tell. Oh, come to us, abide with us, our Lord Emmanuel. Lord, bless you for being in church this morning. Merry Christmas. We'll see you Wednesday. Some of you.
Well, Jackie, it's good to see you indeed.
Good to see you.
Yeah,